98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
It's 4 o'clock. This is where we hit the top stories of the day. Get you caught up on what's going on. Our reaction to the top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show. We start with this tweet from Adam Schefter, and this is exactly what we were expecting today. Cardinals defensive coordinator Vance Joseph is in Miami to interview for the Dolphins head coaching job. They've interviewed a lot of different people for this gig. We knew Vance was going to get some looks in the offseason, Gambo. So far, this is the only team that we know of who has requested permission to speak to Vance Joseph.
Yeah, they've already interviewed the 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel, the Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, the Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier are both candidates on their radar from what we're hearing. Vance was the Dolphins defensive coordinator in 2016, so there are some ties there. But yes, he interviewed today, and you know, we'll see if he is one of the finalists for that job.
Quick injury update for the teams playing this weekend. The number one seed in the AFC getting reinforcements. The Titans will officially, and have officially, activated running back Derrick Henry for their AFC divisional round playoff game against the Bengals. He is expected to start when the offense takes the field, Gambo.
Go back a couple of years ago, and he had two of the most amazing games in a row in the playoffs, rushing for almost 200 yards in like and over like 5 yards per carry plus in each of those games. One was against New England, and he was just, for those of you that remember, he was a one-man wrecking crew. And if he plays like that, Tennessee may be hard to beat.
Yeah, the Rams have already ruled out left tackle Andrew Whitworth and safety Taylor Rapp for Sunday's divisional round game against Tampa Bay. We can tell you from the Bucs' standpoint, center Ryan Jensen and right tackle Tristan Wirfs are both questionable for that game with ankle injuries. Tampa also has until tomorrow to activate Leonard Fournette off of the IR, Gambo.
Yeah, that Andrew Whitworth is just such a great story for me. It's almost because you look at him and you're like, you are a starting left tackle in the NFL?
Yeah, I know, right?
You look like my chubby uncle, you know? Like, so just, you know, anybody, he's been a good player. He's been a good player for them for a long time, so not having him I think is going to hurt.
49ers announced that defensive lineman Nick Bosa has cleared concussion protocol, has no injury designation against Green Bay, so he's good to go. The Packers also today announced they have activated linebackers Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Mercilus off of the injured reserve. So dudes are coming back for that game, that's for sure.
Yeah, they put Darquise Dennard on the active roster. And there's still a couple guys, Jordan Willis and Ambry Thomas, that is still listed as questionable. But getting Bosa back after the concussion, that's a big deal. He's a great pass rusher.
And kind of a surprise from the NFL that just came down a little bit ago. The Baltimore Ravens announced that they were firing, with 1 year left on his contract, their defensive coordinator, Don Wink Martindale. The reaction on NFL Twitter is that with Martindale available, there are going to be a lot of teams who are going to want him to be their defensive coordinator. A lot of people surprised about this one today. I didn't mean to spring this one on you, but it just happened in the last couple of minutes. It does seem like a typical Friday news dump kind of story. Like at the very end of the day, they're going to announce they fired their defensive coordinator.
Right. We're going to fire our defensive coordinator, and we're going to do it because he's been there for... But he's been there for a number of years. I know that, at least five or 6 years. He's been their defensive coordinator, done a good job.
I don't know the exact number. U of A continued their dominance last night. They crushed Stanford 85-51. That's a Cardinal team that beat then number five USC about 9 days ago. So third-ranked U of A continues their success, Gambo.
Watch that game, and a lot of people are talking about them having a chance to maybe be the best team in the country. Tubulis got hurt, sprained his ankle. But there's just so much depth on that team that they were able to win that game and win it easily. I mean, it was at Stanford. It was never a contest. They blew them out.
Coyotes in action tonight. They're taking on the Islanders. That's a puck drop at 5:30. You'll hear it on ESPN 620 tonight, Gambo.
You got to say the four-time Stanley Cup champion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're just not paying any respect.
Well, like,
granted, I was still in school when they won four in a row.
All right, I'm sorry. I gotta
and the Oilers
kiss the ring for the Islanders.
I don't think anybody has won four in a row since then. Is that correct?
you would know better than
I.
I don't think any team
has won four championships in a row since them in any of the major sports.
And then, as we lead into our top story of the day, I will tell you that according to reports, three-time WNBA champ Phoenix Mercury going to hold a press conference on Monday in which they are expected to name Vanessa Nygaard as their new head coach. That's right before the Phoenix Suns are taking on the Utah Jazz is when Mercury general manager Jim Pittman is expected to introduce the new Mercury head coach. So we've got
Yeah, I had heard a couple of names. Stephanie White, Natalie Nakasi, and Vanessa Nygaard were the candidates, but you're hearing Nygaard's going to be the coach?
That's according to reports from Chantel Jennings and others that she is going to get the gig. But our top story of the day today on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Bridges goes up to get the board, and there's the final buzzer. Suns win 109-101, the final from Dallas. They run the table on the five-game trip and are 35-9 on the season, including a league-best 18-5.
Like Monty said after the game, Gambo, four wins. Road trip out of five is good. We wanted great, and great is what they got. Five on the road on this trip, in which they hopped all over the country to do it. I mean, they were in Canada, and they were in the Midwest, and they were in the Southwest, and they were here, and they were there, and it didn't matter. They went 5-0 on the trip, beat the Mavs last night 109-101.
Yeah, and they did it, and you know, they were down by 9 late in the game. It was 89-80, and then they were down with 6 minutes and 55 seconds. Dallas, Hardaway hits a 3. It's 95-87 Dallas, and you're sitting there, you're like, okay, I know it's coming. You watch it. You're sitting there with it's coming. And then all of a sudden, Jay Crowder with the 3 and McHale with a follow and Book off the turnover of Powell scores and then Biombo with a 3. And then all of a sudden, there it is. The Suns take the lead. A big run. They're up 99-97. Like, see, I told you. Anybody watch? I told you they're going to come back and take that lead. We almost expect it.
Yeah.
We almost expect that if they're down a reasonable amount inside of 10, 6-7 minutes left, that they press this button and all of a sudden they morph into this team that just goes on a run and takes care of business.
Yeah, and look, I know that the Mavs were on the second night of a back-to-back. That was in my mind, a very impressive win for the Suns last night. Closing out a road trip in which they could have been fat and happy on their four wins. They didn't have DeAndre Ayton, which could have been a real matchup nightmare for the Suns last night. And the Mavs, despite the fact that they were on the second night of a back-to-back, had won 10 of their last 11 games and were playing some of the best defense in all of the NBA. That's a very impressive win, I thought, for the Suns, despite a team that might have been a little fatigued at the end. Plus, wasn't it the first time they had played Luka all year, too, I think?
Yeah, Luka did not play in the two November games won. He did not play in those games.
I thought that was a really good win for them last night.
I thought it was a great win. And you know, here's the thing. Like, they don't think the way, like, oh, yeah, just, you know what, last game of a road trip, you're tired, you've been all over the place. They don't think like that. Their thought process is we're going to try to win. I mean, we're going to try to win these games. Even though we've talked 100 times about how a lot of these games don't matter, they still are going out there and they're trying to do something special this year.
Yeah. Their defense was special, and the fact that everybody contributed in the final 5 minutes of that game last night were special. When we come back, it's obvious this is a very special basketball team. The question that we're trying to get to the bottom of is how special, how historically good are they? Like, the best in the history of the Phoenix Suns? We'll ask that question and try to answer it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
As far as the finals are concerned, we can't get happy on the farm and look too far ahead. We have a lot of work to do. First, we got to make the playoffs, and then we can think about the first round. But the Bucks are champions, and we have the utmost respect for them. And they certainly achieve something that we want to. So, but we have a lot of steps to cover before we can even approach that.
That was Monty Williams last night after the Suns beat the Mavs 109-101. I'm not exactly sure what the context was of him getting asked about the finals, but certainly when you look at this team, when you look at the fact they've got the best record in the NBA, when you look at the fact that if you look at the standings from the perspective of the loss column, they're the only team still in single digits in the loss column. The next closest team has got 13 losses. They've only got 9. And then you factor into the fact that three of those nine losses came in the first, 10 days of the season when they were 1-3 to start the year. For goodness sakes, they're 34-6 since starting the season.
On pace for like 65 wins.
Yep. And incredible. Pizza for everybody in the web department, right?
I'm going to have to get them a couple of pies.
Yes, you are.
I mean, all those people that were predicting 60 to 65 wins, and for those of us that thought they were crazy because the Suns were going to be targeted this year, and everybody was going to be gunning for them and have the target on their back and all that, it doesn't matter, man. They're just going out there and they're just kicking everybody's ass. It's interesting because you try to think, can you enjoy it? And there are times that, where I feel like, man, I just want to get to the playoffs and get to those series. But then there's, like you tweeted it out last night, man, it's so freaking enjoyable to just sit back and watch this team play.
You hit the nail on the head, Gambo. It's such a contradiction watching this team sometime because, and I felt it last night too, man, there are sometimes I just want to fast forward the calendar to the middle of April and, okay, man, let's go. Let's tee it up right now. Yeah. Let's find out what this team's got. But then there are other moments like last night, and you said it best in the last segment. They're down 9 with 8.5 to go.
You knew it
was coming. You knew the great defense was coming, and you knew the great shot-making was coming, and you knew that it was everybody. It was Bismack Biyombo, and it was Mikal Bridges. It was Booker. It was Paul. It was all of them. Crowder. It was all of them on the floor had a hand in that, and it is shockingly easy to enjoy this team on a game-by-game basis when it would be really easy to say, oh, man, I just want the playoffs to start right now. I don't care about the regular season. It's shocking how much fun it is to watch them on a game-by-game basis when we should all just be thinking about the postseason. It really is.
Yeah, I guess you got to enjoy the journey, right?
Yep.
I mean, you want to enjoy the journey. You don't want to just... you don't want to tune this out, because if they end up winning it all, you want to savor it. You want to enjoy the whole ride. And that's what we're on right now. You're on this incredible ride. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to have home court advantage in the first round. They're probably going to have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs. They're going to go in. They're not surprising anybody. They're going to go in as maybe the favorites, them and Golden State. I think that's what everybody's going to take. It's either them or Golden State. I think Golden State's struggling right now, but I still expect in the end they're going to be there. But I think the Suns have put the Jazz in the rearview mirror and the Lakers and maybe even the Clippers, but no Paul George now for a while. And I think it's a two-team race in the West, and I would be shocked if anybody outside of Phoenix or Golden State came out of the West. I really would.
There was a story on The Athletic today. Why are the Suns the best team in the NBA? And Zach Harper, and I take a little bit of an issue with this because I don't think he's paying enough credit to one guy in particular, but he writes, if you look at the Suns from top to bottom, they just feel like the most complete team right now. They're not missing anybody major. Their backcourt is the best in the league. DeAndre Ayton is still underappreciated. They're the only team in the NBA top six in both offense and defense. And I'm just going to stop there because the thing that kind of bothered me with that, on one breath he's saying they're not missing anybody major, then in the very next sentence he says DeAndre Ayton is still underappreciated. DeAndre Ayton's missed, 16 games so far this year? DeAndre Ayton didn't play? Yeah, they are missing somebody major, very major. It's just not showing up in the win-loss column like it is for the Clippers and Paul George. And I'm not saying Ayton's Paul George, but you know what I'm saying? They are missing somebody major, and they're still 34-9 on the season.
Yeah, and it's incredible, right? Because we've talked so much about how the regular season doesn't matter, and you would expect for a regular season that doesn't matter, like the players have that. There's something about the leadership, there's something about Chris Paul that is so uniquely special, and not that we take it for granted, because I don't think anybody does, but I don't know that if any other leader, like, the Suns, they go on a road trip, they win 5 games in a row. The last game of the road trip, they're still trying to kick the other team's ass. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, you have the best record in the league. Like it is amazing that you expect them, after the journey to the NBA Finals, to kind of take a step back and understand that the regular season doesn't have the meaning that it used to.
Yeah.
And that you're going to be in the playoffs, and the only thing that matters is being healthy for the playoffs. And even home court advantage, if you're the second or the third seed, who cares? It doesn't matter. You can win on the road. It's a seven-game series. But, man, they're just going out there, and they're going to put together one of the most listen, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. They're going to put together one of the most special regular seasons in the history of Phoenix Suns basketball this year. Maybe the most special.
If you look at the all-time franchise record for winning percentage in a season, you're absolutely right. And if you arrange it by win-loss percentage, and I know we've only played barely half the season, this team right now is winning basketball games at basically an 800 clip, 795, and I'm just rounding up to 800, okay? That is the best win-loss percentage in the history of the organization if it holds. The next best was the 04-05 team that won 75.6% of their games. The next best after that was 92-93. I mean, so we're literally talking, Gambo, about some of the teams that we have our best memories from in the history of the Suns organization that this team is on pace to be better than in terms of the record. 04-05 was the first Nash season. 92-93 was the first Barkley season. This team is winning games at a higher clip than those. So when we ask the question, is this the best Suns team in the history of the Suns? I mean, since no other team has won an NBA championship, I think it's a very fair question to ask because we really don't have that one great Suns team that won it all to compare it to, right? We don't have that. So without that, I think it's a very fair question to ask. And I think they are, and I know you think they are as well.
You know, even last year, you were worried about the Lakers. Then, you know, Davis got injured, but you were worried, right? I mean, weren't they down 2-1 to the Lakers?
Yes, they were. Yes.
They played Denver without Jamal Murray, but it was the MVP, but they swept them. Then they played the Clippers. I was always worried about the Clippers. Man, I tell you, what's changed for me is I just don't think that those other teams are capable of beating them. Like, if they play the Lakers, they could have a full roster, man. Anthony Davis, the Lakers don't have a snowball's chance in hell of beating the Suns, in my opinion. The Nuggets could get Jamal Murray back. They're not going to beat the Suns. The Clippers can get Kawhi and Paul George back. I just don't have the – last year there was always a constraint. They hadn't been there, and they weren't tested and proven, and we just didn't know. Where I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but I think this year my confidence level in them is so much greater than it was even last year.
No, I know exactly what you're saying, because last year was very much a yeah, but kind of year. Yeah, they're good, but they're untested. Yeah, they're good, but, you know, AD was hurt and the Lakers, and yeah, but Jamal Murray, and yeah, but Kawhi Leonard. There aren't any yeah, buts anymore. I mean, the Suns... We talked about this a little bit yesterday briefly. There was a story from our friends at Bright Side of the Sun that if you look at the number of games lost and the quality of the players that missed those games.
The Suns have like some of the highest players lost,
one of the highest numbers in the league.
And
it's like it doesn't matter.
Because the way James Jones built the team was to be able to overcome those losses,
to be deep.
Remember, I said this from the beginning, and I've had talks with James about, you know, this team and how he wanted to build this team somewhat in the image of the Indiana team that he was on, you know, early in his career. Just that it was a very deep team. And so they didn't want to try to beat you 1-2. And their guard play is phenomenal. But they felt like they could really be better than everybody else, 4 or 5, 6. That's why they weren't chasing stars. 4, they're not going to go get Russell Westbrook. I mean, they want to be better at 4, 5, 6, 7. They're getting Bismack Biyombo. Not where at Russell Westbrook, right? They're getting JaVale McGee. Not, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. Like,
yeah.
they're getting guys that fit, that play defense. It's very important for James Jones that if he brings a guy in, that he can play defense.
On the one hand, you've got a quarterback with more rings than fingers on one hand, and the other just got their first ever playoff win. And yet, the Rams go in to play a Tampa Bay team that feels like they're vulnerable. We'll continue our preview of the divisional playoffs coming up this weekend next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
All right, before we talk about the Bucks and the Rams as we continue to look at the divisional playoffs, we have to update our Twitter poll question of the day. It was a runaway when we rolled it out at 2:30. Let's still see if it is a runaway. Let's get an update with Eric.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's hard to compare it because the Suns have never won a championship in their illustrious franchise history, which is obviously the one thing missing, and that's kind of what led to this question that we're asking about the Suns.
It's a simple question, and like you said, Burnsy, it's a blowout, but I think that's pretty telling about what this Suns team means to everybody. But the question is, are we witnessing the best Suns team of all time? You've got three options. Yes, no, the Barkley era team was better, or no, the Steve Nash era team was better.
I think this one was better.
I think this team's better. There's a lot of reasons why, but I think this team is better.
Yeah, better defense.
Yes.
And deeper. And nothing against the other two head coaches of those era. I think Monty is another reason why this might be the best Suns team ever. I can't stress enough how important it is for him when it comes to creating the culture that has defined this basketball team. He certainly plays a big role in that. What's you said it was a runaway?
I mean,
how are we looking?
It's not a surprise. 79.2% say yes. 11.3% say Barkley era. 9.5% say Nash era. And if you just looked at this poll out of context, you'd think, oh man, those other teams maybe weren't that good. No, that's just how good this team is.
They're on pace to have the most wins in a season, Gambo, for a Suns team.
During the pandemic, we did our all-time Suns team, right?
Yes.
When there were no sports going on, man, we were finding
it. We were desperate.
What's the Diamond, the greatest Diamondback team? We were following Korean baseball. I mean, whatever it took, right, mm-hmm. to get through a show back then mm-hmm. and try to entertain people. Man, there's a bunch of these players on this, you know, down the road, not now, but down the road in 5 years, 10 years, you're going to have D.A., on all-time Suns teams, you're going to have McHale, you're going to have Paul, you're going to have Book. Like, there's a lot of these players now. Remember when we did that, that was, I think that was even before the bubble. So
Before the bubble.
I mean,
yes. So
there wasn't any consideration that any of those guys would have been on any of them. Maybe Book, but that would have been about it.
Yeah, Book would have been the only one when we did our all-time Suns team draft, and then we had a panel of experts judge who had the best Suns team. No, there was no bubble. There wasn't any. It's amazing how much has changed since we've had.
Yeah, you'll have four. If anybody, 5 years from now, if you do, well, let's do a draft of the all-time Suns team. You'll have four of these guys that are on people's all-time Suns teams.
Easy. You'll have four for the all-time Suns. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, first, second, third at each position, you'll have four guys that'll be on there.
Yep. The Suns play again against the Pacers on Saturday back home after this long road trip in which they went 5-0. The Pacers beat the Golden State Warriors last night, and the Pacers were missing everybody, and it didn't matter. They still beat Golden State in overtime. And I know Golden State was without Draymond Green, but it was still kind of a surprising result in last night's NBA that the Pacers missing Sabonis and Brogdon were still able to take care of the Warriors on the road as shorthanded as they were. It was kind of a surprise.
Didn't Steve Kerr, like, take the responsibility?
Said it was his fault. Said it was his fault. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but the Warriors did not have practice before that game. They scheduled an indoor softball home run derby to ease tension. So
wow.
That seemed to really work out great for them.
Man.
What did they have?
They had an indoor home run derby. They did a home run derby.
Today?
No, it was
before the Pacers.
Before
the game.
Man, is that an option for us? Like, if we ever have tension on the Burns and Gambo show, can we just say, to hell with it, we're not doing a show today, we're going to do indoor home run derby today? Are we allowed to do that?
You know, back in the day, we used to do wiffle ball in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have, Stephon Marbury used to come in studio and George McLeod, and we would play, like, Nerf basketball. Me and Danny Ainge used to play wiffle ball in the hallways.
Yeah.
Like, Ainge would come in, and we would just literally play wiffle ball, like, in the hallways. Those were the days, right?
Hey, you know what? If tension is running amok on the Burns and Gambo show, I say we just take a day off and go down to a park somewhere and play a little home run derby. You know?
Me and Ash we used to do flag football games. Like, U of A and Ash, we used to draft guys. We used to draft people.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, put teams together and then play a crazy flag football team.
All right.
Football game.
So this is, speaking of football, this is my favorite weekend of the year. I don't know if it is. I think you're more of a conference championship guy, if I remember right. I think next weekend is your weekend. I love the divisional round of the playoffs, and this year I'm really looking forward to it because I just don't think there's a dud among these teams. And we've given each game its own kind of segment to talk about it so we can stretch out our legs a little bit. And now it's time for the Rams versus the Bucks. 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. The team that vanquished the Cardinals against the Cardinals' old coach and the best quarterback in the history of the game. And this one, I think injuries will go a long way into determining who walks away with this one. I know Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but man, are they missing a lot of guys potentially for Tampa Bay, and I think that really impacts this game.
Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen with the ankle injuries. I mean, that's important right there. You're going up against Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and, you know, that pass rush right there. Now, Brady, look, he's quick at getting rid of the ball, but, you know, if you could cover those guys, and Jalen Ramsey said he's up for the task, he's ready, and you can get pressure on the quarterback. Everybody knows that's how you beat Tom Brady. The experience level of Brady is through the roof. I think the Tampa Bay's favorite by just a little bit. But this is one of those games. I just think that between Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr., I think that the Rams are going to be able to move the ball up and down the field. They're going to be able to keep Brady off the field. And I'm going to pick the Rams in this one.
Yeah, I'm picking the Rams too. I was kind of surprised doing the research for this game, looking at other people and their picks on The Athletic. They had six NFL writers. It was split right down the middle. Three picked the Rams, three picked the Buccaneers. They have this story that they also did on The Athletic where they anonymously spoke to three NFL scouts, and they had them pick this game. Two of the three picked the Rams to win. It feels strange picking against Tom Brady in a playoff game.
But without those offensive linemen.
Yep. Yep.
Without Tristan Wirfs, without he's done. He's got a high ankle sprain. If Jensen doesn't go, like, if you're down two of your key offensive linemen
against the Rams, who, you know, didn't have Von Miller the first time these two teams played all the way back in week three. Von Miller obviously is playing at a much higher level than he was when the Rams first got him. Of course, we all know what Aaron Donald brings to the table. And I do think now that the narrative of Matthew Stafford has been erased, not that he's going to go out there and throw for 350 and three touchdowns with no picks tomorrow, but I do think it kind of frees him up to relax a little bit and not feel that pressure that he felt last week against the Cardinals. I mean, at this point, I think the Rams are playing with a little bit more house money at this point. They got that win. Stafford got that monkey off his back. Tom Brady's all beat up and hurt. I'm with you. I think the Rams win this game. I don't want it to happen. I hope. I heard Maloney talking about this earlier, and she's right, man. I hope the Bucks boat race the Rams on Sunday. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Rams are going to win. I think the Rams are going to win this game. I do.
It's hard. It's impossible for me to root for Tom Brady. I'm sorry. I just can't.
I know. I get it. I was hoping maybe the Rams division rival and the team that eliminated the Cardinals, maybe that would sway you into casting your vote for Tom Brady, but you're not going to bite, are you?
You know, there was a time, I hate to admit this, but there was a time that I actually liked the Rams. It was 1979, Pat Hayden, Vince Ferragamo, Lawrence McCutcheon. I don't know. Maybe I was a kid. Maybe it was the uniforms, whatever it was. But there was a time when I kind of liked the Rams a little bit, and that was the 79 Super Bowl against the Steelers. But Jack Youngblood, Jim Youngblood, hey. They were good. I rooted for them.
But not now, is what you're telling me?
No, I mean, I'm just like, you know, living here, it's hard to like L.A. teams. Like, I kind of despise L.A. teams, right, living here. But, man, my hatred for Tom Brady is just deeper. It's just deeper, you know?
Vince Ferragamo, Jackie Slater, Jack Youngblood, Jim Youngblood.
Jack Youngblood and Jim Youngblood.
Bob Brzezinski. I'm sorry. I had to cheat. I Googled 1980 Rams roster. So I'm totally cheating looking at the roster.
Who was
the
kicker? Was it Frank Corral? Who was their kicker?
Give me a minute here. Hold on.
I think was it Frank Corral?
Frank Corral.
How the bleep do you remember that? How do you remember the kicker from the 1980 LA
Frank
Rams?
Corral. I remember Frank Corral.
Yeah, that's Frank Corral, all right.
Yeah. that's a barefooted
that's
kicker?
Incredible. You can't remember something I said 5 minutes ago, but you can remember Frank Corral.
What else can I remember? Wendell Tyler. I remember Wendell Tyler.
Oh, my God. Your brain.
He was good.
Your brain. Donate that bad boy to science, please. Sign an agreement right now to donate that bad boy to science. I gotta know what makes that brain tick of yours.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Like, are you losing your memory? No, I have a great memory from 1978. What do you remember about last year? Nothing.
You're like that guy.
What do you want to know about the 70? What do you want to know about the 75 Reds? I'll tell you the whole thing. 79 Rams. What do you want to know?
You're that guy from, I know you haven't seen the movie, but the movie's called Memento, where he can't make new memories. He's got no short-term memory at all. That's you. You're the guy from Memento. You cannot make new memories. You can only remember things prior to a certain date.
Yeah. Want to talk about the We Are Family Pirates?
Well, I'm sure you could.
I'm good. Want to talk about the current Pirates? I got no idea.
Instead, what we're going to talk about when we come back next is the final divisional playoff game of the weekend that we haven't talked about very much, and it's the first one of the weekend, and in some ways, it might be the hardest of them all to pick because you're talking about a red-hot Bengals team and a Titans squad getting one of the best players, if not the best player in the NFL, back on their roster this weekend. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Football Friday with Burns and Gambo, presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Friday afternoon on this Burns and Gambo Show, John Gambadoro, Dave Burns. We are live from the Auction Community Studios.
What's the sushi tonight? What are you going with? What's your Friday night sushi?
All right, so the restaurant is Osaka, and okay. It's in Gilbert on Gilbert and the Santan Freeway.
But what do you eat? Like, what's the type of sushi
the decision maker is going to get a rainbow roll.
A rainbow roll.
And I'm going to get something called a fat boy roll, which is on the menu there. And it's a big old roll, and then little sashimi, little tuna sashimi, little salmon sashimi.
You about octopus?
Oh yeah, of course, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's
love it.
Yeah, my Friday night, I can't. It's like an hour and 11 minutes away.
You own that Friday night. You own it.
We do. Yeah. Take out sushi. Gin and tonic, and start watching Ozark because it dropped today on Netflix, and I gotta see what happens to Marty Bird.
You gotta know.
I gotta know. I know you didn't like that show, but man,
yeah,
I
didn't like it.
I'm all.
You're hooked.
Oh my god, totally. It's like, when is it drop? It dropped today, so we're gonna watch as much as we can tonight. But what about you? What do you got going on tonight? Doing sushi? No.
Everybody's out of the house now because my kid's got a hitting lesson, and he's got some baseball games this weekend. But I don't know. I mean, we're in the middle of watching that. What did I say? It was Archive 81.
Archive 81. Yeah.
Archive 81. So we're watching that. What do we got sports wise tonight?
We got
the
Yotes are playing the Islanders, the four-time Stanley Cup champ.
That's right, the four-time Stanley Cup champ.
I'm contractually obligated to mention that working
exactly
with Gambo.
Right.
He requires me to mention that.
Tomorrow they play the pathetic New York Rangers, joke of an organization. Shouldn't even be in existence, even though they're original six team.
I don't think you're going to really change that, so I wouldn't worry about it too much, Gambo. As far as what we're going to be watching this weekend, divisional playoffs are what we're going to be watching this weekend. And we've done all day long, and I know you probably, if you're listening right now, you probably haven't listened to the entire show. If you have, man, we salute you. God bless you. But chances are you haven't listened to the entire show up until this point. We've gone over every divisional game this weekend with the exception of the first game that's on the schedule, and that is tomorrow, 2:30 in the afternoon, the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Tennessee Titans. We've already talked about the 49ers and the Packers. We've both picked the Packers. We've already talked about the Rams and the Bucks. We both have picked the Rams. We've already talked Bills-Chiefs, and we both have picked the Bills. You say you're torn on this game.
So torn on this game.
What tears you about this game?
Man, I mean, like, they've had some bad losses. I mean, they lost to the Jets. They lost to the Texans. They've been the Cardinals beat the hell out of them. I think the Patriots beat the hell out of them. So there's things to look at with Tennessee and be concerned, right? But they won 12 games. They're well rested. They're hosting. They're home. And it's not like Cincinnati's this juggernaut that, you know, oh my God, how are you going to beat Cincinnati? They're so good. Their defense seems healthy. I know Bud Dupree feels like this is the best that he's been in a while. David Long, he was inactive for 6 weeks, and you know, and then I think Rashawn Evans, the linebacker, was out for five, and they had another linebacker, the Brown guy, and they just had a lot of guys that were out, and these guys are getting back healthy now. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, is it my head tells me go with Cincinnati? How are they going to stop that passing attack? And Cincinnati's hot, and they could score a lot. And Tennessee's not really they're a fake number one seed, not a real number one seed. So I'm very torn on this game. Very torn.
A real one, not a fake, or a fake one, not a real one. I find that this is the one I'm struggling with the most too this weekend. Like I actually feel really good about all the other picks. I feel good about the Bills. I feel good about the Rams. I feel good about the Packers. But I'm not as torn as you on this one. I'm going to go with the Bengals because I do buy into the idea that as number one seeds go, the Titans leave a lot to be desired. And I'm also of the opinion, and I know not everybody shares this, especially doing my homework for this game, that Derrick Henry, he missed 9 games. I have a hard time believing. I read one scout today who said, man, the dude's a unicorn. He's going to show up, and he's going to be just fine tomorrow. I have a hard time believing that after missing 9 games, Derrick Henry can just show up and be Derrick Henry. And I'll just tell you right now, I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow's swag. I'm a big fan of what he's got going with Ja'Marr Chase. It is infinitely fun to watch. I find myself very much rooting for the Bengals in this game, and I just think the Titans are a little overvalued as a number one seed, and I like the way the Bengals are playing coming into this game, how hot they've been the last few weeks of the season. I've got Cincinnati winning this game. I think the Bengals win.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick the Bengals. I'm gonna pick the Bengals too. But I'm gonna be sitting there watching that game. Ryan Tannehill. Like, am I gonna pick Ryan Tannehill?
I know.
You know, but sometimes that happens. But Tyler Boyd and Ja'Marr Chase, and they got those are good matchups, and it's just hard. Now, the one thing that I really feel that like Derrick Henry is he's the X factor here. If he's healthy and he's running the ball and they can't stop him, that's ball game. That's ball game, because that Cincinnati doesn't get the ball. Tennessee goes on long drives. They get points all the time because if he's going 5 yards a pop. And they're saying he's fresher than he's ever been, and he's healthy, and he hasn't played in a long time, so there's no wear and tear. And they're going to give him the ball, and he's very capable of rushing for 200 yards because that's how good he is.
Yeah, he is.
That's the one X factor to me. If Derrick Henry is healthy and it can run all over them, I don't think Cincinnati can win.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show on this Football Friday, we are not previewing a Cardinals playoff game. And if there's one thing the Cardinals did do well on Monday, it was evoke some very strong emotions in fans. And today, on these airwaves, we heard from two Cardinals legends on what they took away from that disaster on Monday Night Football. You'll hear from them both next on the Burns and Gambo show.